how Hashem in His kindness gave Avram the ability to believe in Hashem. We have to be thankful if we are believers in God. We have to be thankful to Hashem for giving us the ability to believe in Him. Okay, let's go on to the next piece. The piece that begins, Ani hinei vrisi itach. Okay, this is in Perek Yud Zayin. And it's the moment that Hashem tells Avram Avinu, I'm choosing you to be my man. And I want to make a covenant with you. Ani hinei vrisi itach v'hayisa la'av hamon goyim. Hashem says, I'm making a bris with you. That you're going to be the Av, you're going to be the elder, the ancestor, the father of Hamon Goyim, of multitude of nations. V'lo yikare od es shimcha Avram. You're no longer going to be called Avram. V'haya shimcha Avraham. Ki Av Hamon Goyim nisaticha. I've made you the Av, the father, the elder of many nations. You're no longer going to be Avram, which Rashi says is the Av of Aram, but you're going to be Avraham, which is what? Which is Av Hamon Goyim. You're going to be the one who changes the world. And that's who Avram Avinu was. That's who he was. Okay. Says the Avodas Yisrael, Min hayadua ki bishvil Avraham noisda ha'aretz v'chol tzeva'eha. One of the people, so to speak, that Hashem had in mind when He created the world, who was the world created for? Says the Avodas Yisrael, it's well known that Bishvil Avraham, right? We know that the world is created Bishvil Yisrael. We have a Medrash that says the world was created Bishvil Moshe Rabbeinu. But in a certain sense, the one who was able to kind of give direction to the whole universe, to the whole world, was Avraham Avinu. So the world was founded on behalf of Avraham, and everything within it is to be able for Avraham to carry out his mission. K'mo shenirva zo pasuk, as we know, a famous pasuk in Bereishis, Eila toldos hashamayim v'haaretz behi baram. What do you notice right away? Behi baram is the same letters, Avraham. So the shamayim and aretz were established for who? For, hinting to, Avraham. But more than that, says the Avodas Yisrael, toldos hashamayim v'aretz is rashi tevos tohu. That's how tohu is spelled. At the beginning of the Torah, it says the world before it was established was what? It was chaotic. Tohu vavohu. Tohu is not spelled with a vav. Tohu is spelled just like this. Tav hei vav. Right? So, toldos hashamayim va'aretz is rashi tevos tohu. Shaya olam tohu vavohu ad shezarach or Avraham. Because the world was utterly void and chaotic until Avraham came on the scenes. And that's bihibaram osios Avraham. Bihibaram is Avraham. Uvishvilo, and thanks to Avram, thanks to the works of the effort of Avram, Niskan Hashamayim v'Haaretz, the heavens and the earth were given a proper tikkun, they were able to find their place, and all of this is elaborated upon in the Zohar. Okay, very nice. V'nucha lomar, here's the question. One could say, Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu gila lo hasod hazeh be'il hadvarim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing in our Parsha, again, this is all hinted to in Bereishis. Eila told us HaShemayim V'aretz B'hi Baram is back in Bereishis. It hints to the fact that the world was Tohu, until B'hi Baram, until Avram Avinu. But this is the moment where Avram is selected. In our Parsha, in Perek Yud Zayin, this is the moment where Avram actually gets the call and he's tapped on the shoulder and he's told, you're going to be the one. You're going to be the one. In this week's parsha, Nucha Lomar Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gila Lo Hasod Hazeh Be'il HaDvarim. Hashem revealed this secret that was already printed, so to speak, in Bereishis, in the words in our parsha. Because Hashem says to Avraham, Ani, as for me, Hashem says, Hinei Vrisi Itach, I want to make a covenant with you. What is a bris? What is a covenant? It's a fancy word, it's a nice word. It's got a nice ring to it. What is a bris? What does it mean when two people make a bris? Ani hine brisi itach. What is Hashem saying to Avram Avinu? What is a bris? Explains our Rebbe, the habris nikra al kiyam ha'olam. We think of a bris as some type of peace treaty. We think of a bris as a bris milah. But the truth is, in the grandest sense, the word bris is used in Tanakh to represent what? A condition upon which the entire creation is dependent. When Hashem says to Avraham, I want to make a bris with you, right? this is not just some type of, you know, economic agreement between two countries. This is a decision to uphold the world together. A bris is nikra al kiyum ha'olam. The same way the bris that a baby boy gets, you know, on the eighth day of his life, sets the tone for his entire life. So the covenant that Hashem is making with Avram Avinu, to make him the elder of the multitude of nations, to make him the leader of mankind, is not just a detail. It's mamash changing the course of history. A bris is what? Is al-kiyum ha'olam. Where do we find such an idea? Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Perek Lamed Gimel, Imlo brisi yomam v'layla, if not for the covenant of day and night, then chukos shamayim v'aretz lo samti. Then the principles and the law that upholds heaven and earth could not exist. That's a quote. That's the pasuk. You put in the quotes. In lo brisi yom v'layla chukos shamayim v'aretz lo samti is a quote. Pasuk in Yirmiyah Perek Lamed Gimel. So you see that a bris sometimes is not just, again, it's not just a detail of an arrangement between two parties, two people, two nations. Sometimes a bris is the foundation upon which the whole thing stands. Again, the same way a baby boy receives his entrance into Yiddishkeit through his bris milah, and that becomes the yesod, the foundation of his whole life. So the bris of Hashem and Avraham is the foundation upon which the world rests. V'gila lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki kol ikar habris hu itach, perish bishvilcha. Hashem says to Avraham, Ani is a big word that Hashem says, I. That's how Hashem introduced himself at Har Sinai, Anochi. Ani, I, for my sake. As far as I'm concerned, Hashem says, Hinei brisi itach. My bris is what? With you. And our Rebbe's learning, itach means bishvilcha. Right? It's for you. The whole agreement that there should be a world is because of you, Avram Avinu. And Avram did a very good job, an exceptionally good job, in allowing that to happen. Right? Baruch Hashem, we're here today. Chaver, you're here today in 2020 learning Torah because of decisions Avram Avinu made in a very, very different world long ago. Okay, so now the question is, here's the funny question. Avram Avinu, Chazal tell us, learnt Torah before the Torah was given. Now, exactly what that means is a great question. Did Avram read the words, Bereishis Bara Elokim? I mean, he didn't have the Torah the way that we have it, but Avram knew everything about Torah. In fact, Avram Avinu even kept the mitzvahs derabanan, as we'll see. Avram Avinu understood the Torah inside out. So if that's true, why didn't Avram Avinu figure out the fact that he was the one who was upholding the entire world? It's a funny kind of question, right? Meaning, Avram should have been reading Chumash Bereishis, and Avram Avinu should have, so to speak, got to this pasuk, arrived at this pasuk. Eila told us Shemayim v'aretz b'hi baram, and Avram said, "Hey, hi baram, those are the letters of my name." When I was a little kid growing up, so I was very close with the rabbi, and when I was a little, and he had a chumash, you know, in front of him, and on the cover of the chumash it said Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And I looked at the word Chamisha, Ches Mem Shin Hei, and I saw Mem Shin Hei. I said, "Hey, Moshe, that's me." I said, "That's my name. I see my name in the Torah." Right? So if I was, you know, and I wasn't such a learned or smart kid, so if Avram Avinu, so to speak, kept the Torah before there was a Torah, Avram Avinu should have read the Torah and said, "Hey, look, my name. Hashem made the world for me. Eila told us Shemayim Va'aretz, Behi Baram." Why didn't Avram figure that out? He figured out Dinam Derabanan, that are debated by Rabba and Rav Chista in the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Mem Vav. I'll show you in a few minutes. He couldn't find a hint to his own name in the Torah. Why wasn't he able to figure it out? If that sounds like a funny question, then you don't believe how deeply Avram learned Torah. You'll say, well, he wasn't looking for hints in the Torah. Avram knew the Torah inside out, Chavra. Again, I don't know exactly what that means, but he knew all the secrets of the Torah. He knew the secrets of the letters of the Torah. And our Rebbe, the Avodas Yisrael, who wrote many, 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 many Svarim in Kabbalah, and knew the inner workings of the Sefer Yetzirah and the Zohar, knew full well that Avram Avinu knew it better than he did. Va'al titam al Avram. So if you'll ask, you'll wonder about Avram. Shelo hisig ze ba'atzmo. Why didn't Avram figure this out on his own? Hagam shehisig kol ha-Torah im tseirufim kanoda. Even though Avram figured out the entirety of the Torah with all of its tseirufim, with all of its permutations, as is known from works of Kabbalah, from early works of Kabbalah. Avram knew it all. He knew how to play around with the letters. Why couldn't he figure out that he, Baram, is Avraham? Why didn't he see himself? Who do we hear over there, Seth? Why couldn't he figure himself out in the Torah? So friends, our Rebbe has two very nice answers. And it leads to maybe a stronger question that should bother you in this week's parsha, which is, if Avram figured out Kol HaTorah Kula, why didn't he figure out how to give himself a bris milah? Avram wore tefillin, apparently. Avram kept Shabbos, apparently. Avram kept kosher, apparently. And yet, it's not until he's 99 years old that Hashem tells him, you should also, by the way, Jews have bris milah. Oh, Jews have bris milah. Why didn't Avram figure that one out? Okay, so we'll get to that question in a little bit also. But these are the questions he's thinking about. This is what our Rebbe was thinking about. Okay, so let's see. So says the Avodas Yisrael, why didn't Avram find himself in the Torah? Yesh lomar, we could suggest as follows. Ha'echad, the first answer would be, ki miderech ha-tzadik ha-amiti, liyozdaka u'shval ruach, v'lo yigba libo chalila b'shum inyan lahamin ba'atzmo, ki b'shvilo nivra ha'olam. Chevra, we're about to learn about a very subtle balance between what? What we call humility and self-esteem. It is the way of true tzaddikim to be what? To be humble. To be of meek spirit. That they don't, God forbid, walk around declaring or believing in themselves in such a way that what? Ki b'shvilo nivra ha'olam. That the world was created for me. Avram Avinu was one of the most humble people ever. Avram Avinu said about himself, right? That I'm afar ve'efer. I'm dust and ashes. Avram Avinu didn't hold himself. He's not going to read the Chumash and look for a hint that the whole world was created for me. He's a humble person. Now, what about the fact that the Gemara tells us that we're supposed to say, everyone is supposed to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam? You need to believe that. Avi, you need to believe that. Yaakov, you need to believe that. Yoni, you need to believe that. You need to believe Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. You got to live with that. That's a mitzias for Ozzy and for Jared and for Gabe and for Ashi, for Seth, for Alex, for everyone here, for Aaron, for Yehuda, for Moshe Tzvi. We need to believe Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. We have to live with that in a very real way. In a very, very real way. But the tzaddikim didn't walk around all day, you know, declaring that. And in fact, our Rebbe tells us, the Avodas Yisrael says, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, which you probably think of, and I think of also, as a chizuk, you know, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, he reads it as a responsibility. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam is not bragging rights. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam is not some, you know, Gemara trying to make you into a Baal Gaiva. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam is a responsibility. So Avram Avinu, who's a tzaddik amiti, he didn't believe in himself, the Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, in an unhealthy way. Hagam Sha'amru Chazal, even though, like we just said, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Zayin, tells us, Chayav Adam Lomar Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, a person is obligated to say, the world was created for me. Lo Chas V'Shalom, it's not, God forbid, to be understood. Lo Chas V'Shalom Kivdu L'Nasei L'Natel Es Ruach Ha'odam Al Yedei Zeh. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam is not to lift yourself up, to carry your spirit in a way that makes you haughty. God forbid. Adrabah. You know what Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam means? It's supposed to be a responsibility. It means I can't just say, whatever, I'm a minor character in creation. Chevi, you have to be big people. It's an awesome responsibility. I can't be an average Jew. You have to be a great Jew. You have to be a tzaddik. You have to be a Talmud Chacham. You have to say, Rabbi, I don't see myself as that. Too bad. Hashem says, I see you as that. You have a responsibility to be awesome, to be great, to change the world, to walk in the footsteps of Avram Avinu. Like it says in the Medrash. The Medrash says, a person has to declare, Masai yagiu ma'asai lamasei avosai. It's a Medrash. He's not quoting it here, but it's a Medrash. Tana de Be'aliyahu. When will my actions reach the actions of my avos? I have to be like Avram, I have to be like Yitzchak, I have to be like Yaakov, I'm a pashut yid, I'm a simple guy. And the answer is no, you have to strive to be big and to change the world like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's an expectation. And if you say I'm too small of a person, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam comes to be machazek you and to put the responsibility on you. You have to be thinking about that. Don't live for yourself. Do something big in the world. Every one of you has a chrayis to do something big in the world. So Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam is not bragging rights, right? It's a responsibility. Adarabah. What it does for us is sheikana v'yishafel b'yir of a fachad she'efshur b'shvilo nivra ha'olam. A person's supposed to be in awe of such a statement that, oh my gosh, maybe God had me in mind when he created the world. Maybe I'm not just some divine accident. Maybe I'm here for a very purposeful reason. And here means mamish here, right? At this stage, at this time, in this place, to think I'm here for something big and to be on the lookout to accomplish whatever that is that I'm being called to accomplish. Imkein hu tzarech la'avod la'Hashem b'chol mine avdus. And therefore, if you really believe in b'shvili nivra ha'olam, one needs to serve Hashem with all forms of servitude, mashiyesh b'kocha, whatever is within your ability to do. You have to see yourself. You can't just say, right? I thought it was very beautiful. You know, again, I'm sorry to drift for a moment into politics, but I thought it was very beautiful at the last presidential debate when Joe Biden was accusing Trump of not taking responsibility for, you know, all the coronavirus failures. And President Trump said, I do take responsibility. I know I have to take responsibility. I'm the president of the United States of America. I got some things right. I got some things wrong. Maybe we'll disagree in terms of policy. But I can't pretend that I'm not a player in this, you know, on the grand stage. So lahavdil chevra, and even more so, a Jewish person is a player on the grand stage. You're a lead actor in the play. You're not playing some guy in the background. Like my brother who lives two doors down, Josh, who was an extra in a movie. He got to play a chassid in a movie. You can see him in the background. He's walking on the street in the background. That's his claim to fame. You can check it out. He has one of those pages, you know, online for like actors and all their achievements, all the movies that they're in. So he's got one of those. What's it called? The IMDb page? I maybe got the acronym out of order. Yeah? So you can check him out. He's a very famous actor, my brother. He walks down the street in the background of a scene in the movie. Okay, it's good shtick. It's good shtick. But every one of us is a lead actor. Every one of us is in the spotlight, so to speak. If you remember what Rabbi Penner spoke about at the beginning of this year, right? And therefore, b'shvili nivra ha'olam is a huge responsibility. It's a big achrayus for a person to say, I have to do my part to serve Hashem with great commitment and great passion. Okay, so Avraham Avinu didn't discover himself in the Torah because he wasn't looking for himself in the Torah. He was asking himself, how can I serve Hashem? And he did serve Hashem. And only now Hashem reveals to him in Parshas Lech Lecha, by the way, the bris, the covenant that upholds the whole world, is you. No, that's a different Josh Weinberg. He was not in Scaredy Cat. You have to find the other Josh Weinberg. Okay, that's reason number one. It was in a very bad movie. I never saw it. I have no intention of seeing it. But it was not well received at all. Ve'efshar od lomar. And furthermore, we could say a second reason why Avraham Avinu didn't discover himself in the Torah. Chaver, listen. Ve'efshar od lomar. Kevan shahayeshamo kodem Avram belohei. Beautiful and simple answer. How is Avraham supposed to find himself in the word Hibaram? Avraham, at this point, was still Avram. In other words, these letters would throw him off. That's not his name at this point. He didn't have the letter Hey yet. Imkein lohaya adayin hatseiruf b'hibaram remez el shmo. The arrangement of the letters of b'hibaram did not yet hint to his name. It was a similar letters, but that's not his name. My name is Avram, not Avraham. Lachein lo nigla elav hasod hazeh, at she'omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hinei brisei itach, v'haya shimcha Avraham. Now you understand our pasuk so beautifully. Now our pasuk makes perfect sense. Why? What's happening in our pasuk? Hashem says to Avram, I'm going to make a covenant with you to uphold the world. Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Dalid. What's the next pasuk? V'lo yikare od, v'lo yikare od, as shimcha, and your name will not be called what? Avram. V'haya shimcha Avraham. Ah, now Avram can go back to Bereishis, and he can look at the pasuk of creation and say, ah, b'hi baram. Ah, now I see myself in that. Now I see that Hashem has selected me. But again, it was a combination of his humility, and practically his name was not yet Avraham, that prevented him from recognizing that the entire bris, the entire covenant of creation, was dependent upon him. Okay? Now our Rebbe adds one other comment, which is really a Purim shir, which we're not going to go into right now. But I'll give you the hint now, and if you remind me Purim time, I'll give you the whole shir. Okay? It's a very beautiful Torah secret, The question's a good question, so I want you to see the question, even though the answer is going to be a little bit confusing for us at this point, but let's try. V'hine Rashi perish. Rashi explains. Shemikodem hayishmo Avram. Like we mentioned, why did he get a change of name from Avram to Avraham? My son Yaakov, who's 5 years old, came home from school. He told me, Daddy, Avram became Avraham because Hashem wanted to give him a letter from his name. He gave him the letter Hey, which is a letter of Hashem's name. Beautiful. Very nice. Rashi had a different pshat. Rashi says that Avram is Av la'Aram. You used to be the elder of Aram, which is your native country. Va'ata hu Av la'Hamon. And now you're going to be what? Av to Hamon Goyim, to the nations of the world. Chevra, what's the problem? This is still Rashi speaking. What's the problem? He went from Avram, which was Av la'Aram, and now he's Av Hamon, so he needs to pick up the hay. What's with the Resh? Why does Avram still need his Resh? Why didn't he become Avham? Right? Why didn't he go from Avram to Avham? Like Sarai became Sarah. Swap out the letters. Why does he keep the Resh? Explains Rashi. V'Resh shal Avram lo zaza mimakoma. The Resh of Avram's name was not moved from its place. Sha'af yud shal Sarah nisrama ad shosifu li Yoshua al shamo. Because the yud that was taken away from Sarai was very insulted. It complained. When Sarah became Sarah, right? What happened to that yud? The yud was very offended that it got kicked out of the name of such a great woman. Until eventually Hashem took the name and added it to Hosea. And Hosea became Yehoshua. So it sounds like Rashi is saying Hashem kept the Resh in Avram so he wouldn't have to deal with the Resh complaining. The yud complained when it got taken away from Sarai and became Sarah. So to avoid the complaints, Hashem said what? Hashem said, we'll just leave the Resh, even though it doesn't really fit the words, Av Hamon, we'll leave it in there, Avraham. Okay, interesting. Says the Avodas Yisrael, that's really interesting. Davar nifla milahavin demai shana, I don't get it. If the letter doesn't belong, so take out the letter. You took the letter out of Sarai, you could have left it there also. You took it away because it didn't make sense. So take out the Resh. And if it's a problem of what to do with the Resh, what should Hashem do with the Resh? The same thing he did with the Yud. Go find another tzaddik who could use a Resh in their name. Hosea became Yehoshua. Go give the Resh to someone else. Well, what is this? Hashem was worried the Resh is going to complain, so he left the Resh in Avraham. Why did he leave the Resh in Avraham? Okay, so that's the question. It's an interesting question. The answer, again, I told you, is a Torah secret based on the Arizal. Again, let's see what the words are. We're not going to fully understand it now, but let's see. V'yesh lomar al pi divrei ha'arizal. The Arizal writes in his Shar HaPsukim, Shekasav v'pasuk. He explains on the pasuk earlier in the parsha when the battle of the four kings and the five kings is taking place, and who gets captured? Lot. Lot gets taken, and the pasuk says that who is taken? Shekasav v'pasuk ve'es Lot. Lot was taken ve'es richusho, and all of Lot's property, Ben Achi Avram. In case you're wondering who Lot is the Ben, the son of the brother of Avram. Avram's nephew Lot is captured. Says the Arizal, Rechusho Ben Achi is Rashi Tevos Rava. Rava. Who's Rava? Rava. Yeah, that Rava. Which Rava? That's right, the Rava from the Gemara. That Rava. Rava from the Gemara is hinted to in this pasuk. Rava and the Gemara is hinted to in this pasuk. Rava is hinted to by Lot. What is Rava in the Gemara? Like Rava and Abaye? Yes, like Rava and Abaye. What does Rava have to do with Lot? Chava, tell me something about Lot. Tell me anything you know about Lot. Quick, tell me something about Lot. What happens with Lot? What's the end of the story with Lot? What happens with Lot? Where does Lot end up? Lot ends up in Sodom. What happens to Sodom? Sodom gets destroyed. What happens with Lot? Lot thinks the world is over. What happens with Lot? Lot gets drunk. Lot gets drunk. What happens when he gets drunk? He sleeps with his two daughters. Who comes from those two daughters? Who comes from those two daughters?
Ammon
and Moav. Who comes from Ammon and Moav? Ruz. Who comes from Ruz? David. Who comes from David? Mashiach. Lot is the root of Mashiach. Mashiach somehow comes from what? From the drunkenness of Lot. Chevra, do you know any teachings of Rava and Shas? I told you this is a Purim Shir. Who's the one who is machadesh chayiv inish lebesume bepuraya ad lo yada ben ara haman levarach Mordechai? Who's the one on Daf Zayin in Maseches Megillah who says you should drink on Purim in a way that normally the Torah says is usser and is repulsive in the eyes of Hashem? Who's the one who says that out of that drunkenness something holy can come? And the answer is Rava. Rava, the soul of Rava is contained within Lot. Okay? I gave you the beginning of this year and I gave you the last sentence of this year. I cut out the whole middle of this year. So a little bit I ruined this year, but if you remind me Purim time, I'll give you the whole shir. Rechusho ben Achi is Rashi Tevel's Rava. That somehow within Lot was the spirit of Rava. The Heliga Amora Rava. Shahayanishmas Rava belot. And therefore, when Lot was captured, Rava was captured. When Lot was taken hostage, Rava was taken hostage. V'nishva etzal ha-malachim ache shivo Avram. And he was held hostage by the kings until Avram came and saved Lot, and by extension, saved Avraham. So now, if Avraham is the one who saves Lot, and if Lot's existence is dependent upon Avraham, so that, and Lot is contained within his soul, according to the Arizal, the neshama of who? Of Rava. Im Kain, Yeshlomar Shekevan Sheishiva Avraham, Ufada Yakar Mizolel. When Avraham redeems Lot, he saves Lot. And he what? He's Poda. He saves. He redeems Yakar Mizolel. He saves this holy spark that is contained within Lot, namely Rava. Achein, Nichlal, Nishmas, Rava, ba'Avraham. So therefore, Rava is also really what? Dependent upon Avram. And therefore, unbelievable Chiddush, says the Avodas Yisrael, you know why Hashem left the Reish in Avraham? Because the first three letters of Avram's name are Rava. Wow. V'lachein ha-Reish lo-zaza mi-makoma. And that's why the Reish stayed in its place. Okay? There's a lot to unpack here. Part of what we're doing when we learn Chassidus is we're not only looking for, you know, the punchlines. We're not only looking for the complete sugya, but we're looking for the building blocks of Jewish thought. Now we know something that we never knew before. And we're going to file it away, and we're going to save it for another time. As my brother Rav Davidel likes to say, he said there's a Yerushalmi that says that the Torah is rich in some areas and poor in other areas. He says it's one of his favorite gemaras. Because what does that mean? I mean, you don't get the sugya all in one place. Where we spent the last 2 days trying to figure out words in Psachim Daf Dalid based on a couple of Gemaras in Chulin. Yet ended up in Maseches Beitzah. Right? The Torah is a jigsaw puzzle that has to be put together. Pieces are all over the place. Sometimes you dig in one area and you find a lot. Sometimes you dig in there and you find a small piece. But eventually you're able to collect all the pieces and put the sugya together. Right? So you know, our Rebbe, the Avodas Yisrael, gave us a couple of pieces today, right? He gave us some insight into the world of Avraham, into the world of Lot, into the world of Rava, the connection between them, and you carry that around. Next time you see Rava quote in the Gemara, think about this, right? Again, I know it's a lot to hold on to all the pieces. Sometimes we lose the pieces along the way. But again, every one of these is another diamond that just has to find its place, so to speak. We have to figure out where to put it, okay? And Amir Tzashem, we will. Okay. However, let's skip the next little piece. It's a hard one. We're going to jump to Isa B'Yalkut on page Chavtes. Let's just do a couple more minutes. Okay, Isa B'Yalkut. We'll do part of this piece. It's a long piece. We'll do just a little part of it. Isa B'Yalkut, it says in the Yalkut. The Yalkut is the Yalkut Shimoni, which is the Medrash. Yalkut Shimoni says, commenting on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The pasuk says, Simeni Kachoisam Alibecha. You have placed me, or place me, like a chosam. What's a chosam? A chosam is a seal, a signet ring, right? A signet ring that's able to leave an imprint. So placed me like a chosam, like a signet ring, like some type of seal upon your heart. Ze Avram, shayadavok ba'kadosh baruch hu kechosam. Says the Medrash. We're learning a lot about the world of Avram today. Says the Medrash. This is a reference to who? To Avram Avinu, who was clinging to Hashem the same way if you take a signet ring, right? And you push it into, you know, you leave an imprint on something, right? So the picture is a reflection of the thing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avram were like, you know, they're one and the same. Avram was a good reflection of Hashem. He was davuk to Hashem. He clung to Hashem like a chosam, right? Like the mark that's made by a signet ring. Kechosam continues the pasuk. The pasuk says Kechosam al zro'echa, like a mark on the arm. Ze Yitzchak sheyadavak b'kadosh baruch hu kechosam tefillin b'zro'a. Okay, interesting. So Avram is just the chosam. Avram is the mark, and Yitzchak is the mark on the arm, compared to the what? To the mark that the tefillin makes on your arm. Right? Maybe from literally the marks that are on your arm after wearing tefillin. I don't know. That was the connection of Yitzchak to Hashem. Ki oza kamaves ahava. The pasuk continues, because the love is as fierce, as intense as death. Ze Yaakov, as the pasuk says, va'ohav es Yaakov. Hashem's love for Yaakov was intense. So again, we're just explaining a pasuk in the eighth parak of Shir Hashirim. Choisam al libecha Avram. Choisam al zroecha Yitzchak. Ki oza kamaves ahava Yaakov. Okay. Rishafeha rishpe eish. She has zivan shel tzadikim kirishpe eish. And not only do we have Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov having this fierce bond of connection to Hashem, but rishpeha kirishpe eish, this refers to the shine of all the tzadikim, which is like the water, is like the flames of a fire. Tzadik katamar yifrach, kamo tamar, sheyatza lisreifas eish, va'oz nisbaishu soneha, kein kol tzadikim yevoshu kol soneim ayin sham. That the tzaddikim will be able to what? Will be able to consume their enemies like fire. Okay. Avram is very close to Hashem. Yitzchak is very close to Hashem. Yaakov is very close to Hashem. All the tzaddikim are close to Hashem. And we should see the downfalls of the enemies of the tzaddikim. Amen. Kein yiratzam. What's pshat in this medrash? Be'er hadvarim, the explanation of the medrash is as follows. Again, we're just going to focus on Avram. Today we're studying the sugya of Avram Avinu. What does it mean Avram was like a chosam? Avram was like a seal. Avram was like a mark of Hashem in this world. What does that mean? Be'er hadvar. Ki Avram avinu alav shalom hayadava kechosam. Avram clung to Hashem like a seal, like a mark, like a signet ring. Ki achosam mitzayir tu raso b'mashik neido. Because the ring leaves its mark, its seal, its stamp upon whatever it is that is opposite it. Kamo b'sha'ava. You take some wax, right? You take some wax and you mark it with the seal, and now the wax has imprinted upon it the sign that was on the seal. Tahainu im chosim surasu boletes shekenegdo shokeya. If the ring is protruding, so it's going to leave an imprint, an indent on the wax. If the opposite is true, if the ring is shokeya, if it's indented, so then when you press it into the wax will now be bolate, the wax will now be protruding, right? It leaves a mark that's very, very similar to whatever the ring is, or whatever the seal or the stamper is. V'chein hanimshol ba'avram avinu olav ha'shalom. The same thing is true, friends, about Avram avinu olav ha'shalom. Shehaya kol kach davuk ba'kadosh baruch hu. He was so connected to Hashem that he was the mark of Hashem in this world. Ad shenechach bo kol kach ritzon ha'borei im kol toraso mitzvosav. Avram was so in tune with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that Avram Avinu was able to be marked by Hashem in this world to the point that he was able to infer, to grasp the entirety of Torah and mitzvos, until he even understood a din derabanan like Erev Tavshilin. That's how much Avram was in sync with the Ratzon Hashem. He didn't need to come to Har Sinai to get the Torah. Avram was able to just cling to Hashem and to infer, to know what it is that Hashem wanted from him every step of the way. Umachmas dveikuso b'ritzono yisbarach shemo, because of his unbelievable clinging to Hashem, nechiku be'evarov, it was etched into his limbs, kol harashimu mashayasa behem achakiyim kol haTorah. Avram looked at his limbs, 248 limbs of the body, chevra, corresponding to what? 248 mitzvot asei. Avram looked at his arm and said, what do I do with this? Looked at his other arm. What do I do with this? Looked at his legs. What do I do with this? Looked at all of his body parts and was able to ask himself, what does Hashem want me to do with this body part? And he figured it out. He figured it out. He realized that every limb is just a reflection of the divine image in which man is created. Because a person is created, B'Tselem Elokim. And as Rav Moshe Wolfson points out, the gematria of B'Tselem Elokim is 248. 248. You're created B'Tzalam Elokim. Your 248 limbs correspond to the 248 mitzvos. So Hashem doesn't have to say a word to you. If you really understand your own body, you'll be able to infer, you'll be able to feel spiritually by connection to Hashem what it is Hashem wants me to do with this body part or that body part. Okay? Let's pause for a second. I can't resist sharing with you just a quick thought from a different tzaddik, because it's just a sweet vart. Chazal used this mashal. They always use this mashal. That what? That Avram fulfilled even Erev Tavshilin. Okay? Chaver, what's an Erev Tavshilin? Aaron, what's an Erev Tavshilin? Eli, what's an Erev Tavshilin? Who knows? What's an Erev Tavshilin? An Erev Tavshilin is the food that we set aside for Shabbos, before Yom Tov, that gives us permission to do what? To cook from when to when? To cook on Yom Tov. Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook, right? You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. You're allowed to cook on Shabbos, Chavra? You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov? That's one of the unique halachos. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. So what happens when Yom Tov goes into Shabbos? When I'm going from a Yom Tov, from a Friday Yom Tov into a Shabbos, am I allowed to cook for Shabbos? Well, it's a whole question. Am I allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Tuesday? Let's say on Yom Tov I decide, you know what? You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. So I got a lot of free time. I'm going to cook a whole week's worth of dinners. Is that allowed on Yom Tov? Yes or no? What do you think? No, you're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov for weekday. Okay? So what happens if I make an Erev Tavshila and then I could cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos? Okay? Chaver, look at this Gemara really quickly. The Gemara says in Psachim Daf Mem Vav, and again, I know I'm deviating, but if you're listening, you'll smile at the end of this Vart. It's such a sweet Vart. And again, since we're giving Kavod to Avram Avinu today, we're learning the Sugya of Avram Avinu, so this is a sweet Vart to know. It comes from a Sefer called Knesses Yechezkel. The Knesses Yechezkel from Radamsk, the Radamsk Rebbe, in his writings on Sukkos, of all places. Okay, here's what he says. The Gemara says, Ha'ofe miyom tov lechol. What happens if you cook on Yom Tov for Monday, for Tuesday, for a regular weekday? Rav Chista Amar Loka. Rav Chista says, you violated Yom Tov and you should be flogged. You should get lashes. Malkus. We whip a person for that. You violated Yom Tov. Rabba Amar Eino Loka. Rabba says, you don't get lashes. Rav Chista Amar Loka. Rav Chista says you get lashes. Why? Lo Amrinan Ho Miklai Le Orchim Chazile. Rabba Amar Eino Loka Amrinan Hoil. We have a principle called Hoil. That's how it's referred to. If you were to go to your shul rabbi and say, we learned today about the concept of Hoil, he would know what you're talking about, hopefully, or he should probably be fired. What is Hoil? What is Hoil? What is the principle of Hoil? Hoil is this concept that the Gemara discusses. Hoil umikloi le'orchim. Hoil means since. What kind of concept is that? The concept of since. Since guests may arrive, Rabba says you shouldn't get lashes. Let's say I cooked right now, yeah? I have my food for Yom Tov. It's all done. And now I cook something else, which is not for now. I'm saving it for Tuesday, right? So Rav Chista says, you cooked for after Yom Tov on Yom Tov, give him lashes. Rabba comes along and Rabba says, no, don't give him lashes. Could the food be eaten right now? Seth, could the food be eaten on Yom Tov? It could. Do I need it? I've got plenty of other food. Yeah, but let's say your cousins show up suddenly and say, hey, can we come for dinner? And now all of a sudden, oh yeah, I happen to have some extra food, right? So since the food could be used on Yom Tov, right? We say that a person hasn't violated Yom Tov. Even though he was thinking, I'm cooking for next week. But since the food could be eaten on Yom Tov, maybe we can use that as a way of saving this guy from getting lashes. Okay? Okay. What is Erev Tavshilin? What is Erev Tavshilin? The Gemara continues one more line. Amar le Rabba le Rav Chista. Rabba says to Rav Chista, according to you, that you can never cook on Yom Tov for after Yom Tov. So let me ask you, how do you cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos? Chevra, we take it for granted. We've got refrigerators. We've got freezers, right? We've got all sorts of ways to deal with so many things that once upon a time were much more complicated, Right? So we've got food but in the olden days, I don't know, they needed to prepare now for tomorrow. Tomorrow's Shabbos. I can't prepare 3 days in advance, the food will spoil. So now it's Friday and I want to cook for tomorrow, but it's Yom Tov now. So how do you prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos? The Gemara says we have a special trick that we use. Amar Lei Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin is the answer. If you have an Erev Tavshilin, then you're allowed to cook on Friday for Shabbos. When Friday is Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook for Shabbos. Okay? Chevra. If you believe in the principle of Hoil, that guests are going to show up, then you're always allowed to cook on Yom Tov for the next day. Because what? Because maybe I'll eat the food now. So why am I allowed to cook on Friday for Shabbos if I believe in Hoil? Even though the food is for Shabbos, but it could be that the food is for right now. And that's the answer. If you don't believe in Hoil, if Lo Amrin on Hoil, if you don't believe guests are going to show up, so then how are you allowed to cook on Friday for Shabbos? Rav Chista says, I'll tell you, Erev Tavshilin. Chevra, how do we paskin? How do we paskin? Well, we make Erev Tavshilin. When we have a Yom Tov that goes into a Shabbos, we make an Erev Tavshilin, right? But the truth is, Me'ikar HaDin, we really do believe in this concept of Hoel. We believe in the concept of Hoel. We believe that, yes, technically we should exempt you from violating Yom Tov because guests might show up. But as a safeguard, we still do Erev Tavshilin. Because, let's be honest, guests might not show up. Says the Knesset Yechezkel from Adamsk. If you were to pick one person in history, if I gave you the first pick in the draft, yeah? If I gave you the first pick in the draft, and the draft is, pick someone who is most likely to have a guest at their table when you walk into their house, okay? And I'll give you $100 every time you walk into that house and you have a guest at the table. Who are you going to pick to be your person in world history to have a guest at their table? Who is known historically, certainly in our Jewish tradition, as the one who loved Hachnasas Orchim more than anyone else? The answer is Avraham Avinu. So when Avraham Avinu had a Yom Tov that was going into a Shabbos, and Avraham needed to cook, is there any doubt that guests are going to show up? The guests are definitely going to show up. So Chevra, is there anyone in history who needed an Erev Tavshilin less than Avraham Avinu? Erev Tavshilin is the safeguard. Maybe guests will show up, maybe guests won't show up. If there's one person who always has guests, it's Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't need an Erev Tavshilin. And yet, what does the Medrash say about Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu figured out all the mitzvos. Avraham Avinu loved all the mitzvos so much that Avraham Avinu what? What's the example that Chazal give? That Avraham Avinu kept even Erev Tavshilin, even though he didn't have to. That's how much Avraham loved mitzvos, says the Knesset Yechezkel. And that's how much Avraham was able to figure out mitzvos. That's how much Avraham was in tune with Ratzon Hashem. So says the Medrash, Simeini kechoisim alibecha. Make me like a mark on your heart. Who's that a reference to? Chevra, it's a reference to the person that we meet in this week's parsha, Avraham Avinu, the founder of our faith, the one who first discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chevra, what a beautiful teaching about Avraham Avinu. Okay? So last but not least, we have one final step for today, and that is, so then why didn't Avraham give himself a bris milah? If he could figure out Erev Tavshilin, which is not even relevant to him, how could it be that the same Avraham Avinu who figured out even mitzvos derabanan, that the Gemara in Pesachim is debating, he couldn't figure out to give himself a bris milah? What is the halacha of a Jewish male who doesn't have a bris milah? Chayiv kares. It's like one of the most weighty things. It's one of the two mitzvos I say you get kares for. Failing to have bris milah and failing to bring karban Pesach. It's up there and like, you know, so it's cute that you're figuring out Erev Tavshilin. How did you miss like the main thing, Avraham Avinu? Where were you? No? Chevra, what's the answer to this question? How could it be that Avraham didn't figure out bris milah? Okay, so here's our last piece for today. V'shamati Omer. I've heard them say, right? Famous explanation. There's a lot of answers to this question. But there are those who say, Mashalo kiem Avraham Avinu alav hashalom mitzvas mila kodem shenitztava. Why didn't Avraham then give himself a bris mila before he was commanded? Did he miss it? Did he not realize that that was part of the Ratzon Hashem, that was something Hashem desired? He couldn't figure that out? Ki bevada hisig asa mitzvah b'dayto. Of course Avraham figured it out. There's no question he figured it out. In his mind, he knew, of course, about the concept of Bris Milah. Rak shehaya rotza lekayim es ha-mitzvah la'achar ha-tzivoy, kedei shiyeh mitzuva va'osa. Chevra, what's the difference between keeping Shabbos before you're commanded, or keeping kosher before you're commanded, or wearing tefillin before you're commanded, and doing Bris Milah before you're commanded? How many times in your life do you do Bris Milah? You do it once, right? Hopefully you get it right the first time. You do it once. What's the halacha? Is it greater to do a mitzvah that you're not commanded? Or is it considered greater to do a mitzvah that you're commanded? The Gemara is very clear. The Gemara says, greater is the one who does a mitzvah when he's commanded than one who does a mitzvah when he's not commanded. Why would that be? You would think almost the opposite. Maybe if I choose to do the mitzvah, that's even more special, right? If my wife says, take out the garbage, and I do it, okay, it's one thing. But if I'm on my own, I look around the house, I say, oh, the garbage is full, take it out, right? I don't have to wait to be asked. So maybe that's nicer. That means I'm more thoughtful. I'm more sensitive. I'm more aware. When my children clean up their room, before I tell them to clean up their room, right? Wow, I'm so impressed. You thought of it on your own? In some ways, that's even more special than just saying, you know, mommy or daddy told me to clean up my room. So why do you get a bigger reward when you're commanded? Tosfos explains, places, that once you're commanded to do something, there's a yetzahara not to do it. When it's totally optional, it's easier to opt in. As soon as Hashem tells you, you're a Jewish male, get up in the morning and put on your tefillin, all of a sudden tefillin can become burdensome to people. When Hashem tells you to keep Shabbos, all of a sudden Shabbos is so burdensome to some. Until, of course, you come to appreciate what Shabbos really is. When you're commanded to do something, the pressure of being commanded sometimes turns people off. That's why you get a greater reward when you're commanded. So Avram Avinu, of course, says our Rebbe, figured out Bris Milah. He knew about Bris Milah. Why didn't he do it? He wanted to wait to be commanded. Because greater is the one who does a mitzvah that he's commanded than a person who does a mitzvah when he's not commanded. And once you fulfill this mitzvah, you can't do it again. As opposed to other mitzvos, Hagam shiyitzaveu habori baruchu acherkach, even if Hashem commands you afterwards, efshalola kaimam od. You can continue to do the mitzvos again and again and again. But this is a mitzvah where it's one and done. And therefore Avram waited for the opportunity to be able to do this mitzvah. Again, this is a good answer, b'derech hapshat. And again, it speaks volumes about the soul of Avram Avinu and his ability to cling to Hashem and to align his whole body with his Creator. Okay, so we learned a lot about Avram today. Avram is the one who upholds the world, the one who Hashem had in mind. We understand why he couldn't figure that out on his own beforehand. It was his combination of his humility, or the fact that his name was not yet Avraham, it was Avram. And then we ask the question, why did he keep the letter Resh? What's the point of that? Should have been given away to someone else. No, he needs the letter Resh because of Rava, that whole deep secret of the Arizal. And lastly, this unbelievable Dveikus of Avram Avinu, that he was marked on his heart with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And halavai, we should try to align our limbs in accordance with the will of our Creator. Okay, let's stop here, Chevra. Yashar Koyach.